I mean, in response to your thing, what you said about, what'd you say? You said something, I don't know.
I say a lot of things.
You are listening to From the Dome to Your Home podcast, the Municipal Association's weekly look at legislative action and issues facing cities and towns around the state. I'm your host, Casey Fields. Remember when, you weren't on the show. You were not here when we filmed, but I think it was Joni was on the show.
Wait a minute,
when,
you recorded,
I mean,
you filmed it?
Sorry,
you,
not filmed.
You video recorded it? Something I've been begging for?
What if we did? God, Russell, I screwed that one up, didn't
I? That would be riveting video.
I messed that one up. Anyway, we talked about it being Groundhog Day because we felt like it was. We were saying the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, we just need to press repeat from last week.
But we have new stuff.
That's true, we do.
We got some new content.
Some eggs were cracked yesterday.
That's
finally.
Right. We've got some new content, but on the budget we don't.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. We finally got some ideas. We got some confirmation of
We got some pretty solid ideas.
We
I'll
finally
give you that.
Got first person confirmation of one of the reported holdups on the budget.
Yes.
Plus a whole lot more.
That is correct. Would you like to, do you want to talk about the budget first or you want to do the other, like, let's touch on the other two
let's
things.
Let's talk about the positive things that
the
happened
positive
this
things.
Week.
You know who, you know, from what I have studied, there are people in this world that do positive things.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes we refer to them as saints.
Saints?
Yep. Did mm-hmm. you know that?
Well, I'm not Catholic, so.
Right. Well, I'm not either.
I was raised Southern Baptist, so.
I'm not Catholic
believe
either,
in saints.
But, Let me ask you this week's trivia question.
Unless you're a New Orleans Saints fan.
Of course. Unless you're a big New Orleans Saints fan. All right. This week's trivia question has to do with saints.
Wow. We're starting right out the box before
Listen, I just thought I would shake it up. Last time I kind of let it roll a little bit. And this time, you know, I really want to give you, I think this is going to be difficult. So I want to give you some more time.
It gives me more time.
I want to give you a little bit more time.
Okay.
Scott, how many municipalities in South Carolina are named after a saint?
Mm, yeah. Okay.
Think about that.
I know several.
Bit. Several?
Two specifically.
I was going to say, you know two. That's about all you need to know. Not really. They're more than that.
Okay, good.
All right. Let's save the budget for last.
Yes. The dessert.
Let's talk about 31, the municipal audit bill.
Yeah.
So let's take it back a little bit. Mm-hmm. House and Senate passed it.
Yep.
It went to the governor's desk for his signature or veto.
Mm-hmm.
He chose to veto.
He did several weeks ago.
It came back to the Senate last week, I believe, and or week before.
Yeah.
And they unanimously voted to override his veto. And make the bill become law anyway.
It was even more unanimous than that. It was the unanimous consent request to apply the previous unanimous vote.
Right.
So they actually didn't even physically or technically vote.
Right. It was just like, yeah, sure. This is a no-brainer. Yeah. And then yesterday, the House came back into session to deal with some conference reports.
Yes.
And some veto messages from the governor, and they, the House of Representatives, voted also to override by a vote of 72-33.
They did. That's right.
So that bill, Senate Bill 31.
That was strong. That was a strong
that
number.
That was strong.
Yeah.
Like your hair today.
You think it is?
Real strong.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
They voted for it to become law. So now it's in effect.
Yep.
And tell me what needs to happen in order for small cities with the $500,000 or less in total revenue, how can they use this?
So what the bill does is allow cities and towns that have revenues of less than $500,000
right.
to prepare a financial compilation report.
Okay. Not a full-blown crazy million-dollar audit.
Right.
Okay.
Rather than have to go through and prepare a full gap audit.
But they still have to provide all. They don't get away without providing it. They can just do something that's not as
expensive.
It's not as detailed as a full gap audit is. Now, it's important that cities and towns do full gap audits, depending on how big they are and how complicated they are.
Right.
Because they need those audits when they're trying to extend or get credit or not get credit, but issue bonds, issue debt. And so their financial services company or their bank or whomever their bond company would be would require a full gap audit. But smaller towns don't necessarily do that. They don't issue debt.
Right.
And in the absence of getting anything from them now, hopefully this will provide them with the opportunity to do something less rigorous than a full gap audit, but still provide information in a transparent way that allows their residents and others to understand more about their finances than they do now. Right.
And so when a city or town fails to produce their audit, the treasurer's office withholds their local government fund apportionment, right?
Right. Yes.
And so some of these smaller towns have not been able to afford a gap audit, right?
Right.
And so they haven't gotten their local government fund
that they could have used for some sort of reporting effort.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So this might stop the cycle in some places that choose to use it.
That's the idea. Now,
because it's a choice, correct?
It's a choice. Mm-hmm. You don't if you have less than $500,000 in revenue, you can still do a full gap audit if you want to do that. You don't have to use this compilation, this financial compilation report law. Now, no matter how big you are, even if you're under this $500,000 threshold, but you have a court, you still have to do a regular audit.
Okay.
Okay. So you don't
to show your court fees and fines revenue.
You got
to
show your court fees and fines because South Carolina Court Administration requires that.
Okay.
And so that is not something that you can take advantage of if you have a court. So so that will be available to cities and towns to do going forward as of yesterday.
Yep.
Because as we talked about a few weeks ago, if both chambers override the governor's veto, then the law becomes effective at that point, which is what happened yesterday.
Right.
Now, the next step in the process is the state auditor, George Kennedy, in consultation with the state treasurer's office and perhaps the municipal association and some CPAs are going to develop what are called agreed upon procedures for CPAs to conduct or to compile this information. So we're going to set a procedure that will be used and recommended by all CPAs across the state when they are preparing this financial report in compliance with this new law.
So all of the financial compilations that are turned in to the treasurer will look the same.
They should look the same.
Same forms. You would think the same information.
They'll look the same. Yeah. They'll at the very least contain the same information.
Okay.
Format wise, it would be best if they all looked the same.
Right.
You know, the same property tax number is in the same spot as the business
license.
To
make it easy for review.
Right. Yeah. So, in the treasurer's office, the auditor's office, George Kennedy, who's the state auditor, has already set a meeting and we'll be convening people here very shortly. Erica Wright on our staff has set that up, and she's the one who's been working this bill throughout. Mm-hmm. Give a shout out to Representative Gilda Cobb Hunter.
Absolutely.
From Orangeburg. Representative Bill Taylor from Aiken.
Yep. Senator Brad Hutto from Orangeburg.
Senator Brad Hutto
from Orangeburg. Senator Danny Verdon from Lawrence.
Yes. All of those folks get some kudos from us.
That's right.
For seeing this bill, pushing this bill through, and getting it done this year. Very happy about that. And they were all very good representatives and advocates for the bill as it worked its way through the process.
So just as a shameless plug.
Yeah.
I mean, not really, because it's not like we're selling anything, because I can't have callers or sponsors. Scott.
We could probably get sponsors. We've talked about that.
We have talked about that. One day I'm just going to come in here with like a six pack of beer and be like, I just bought it, but we're going to drink it and we're going to review it during the podcast.
What was the occasion that I said I would go get some?
The end of the session, if Hazelwood. It ever would get here.
Yeah. Or Wild Heart, not Hazelwood.
You would go to Wild Heart.
Yeah.
So many, many, many of our cities and towns in South Carolina, we have 271. A lot of them are smaller.
Yes.
A lot of them have a smaller population. Mm-hmm. This bill helps those cities.
Yeah.
We're also hosting an inaugural small city summit the first day of our big annual meeting in Greenville this year.
27 July.
To tackle subjects that are just so specific to smaller cities and towns. That's right. The first time we've ever done a summit.
Yes.
We've had breakout sessions. We've had smaller meetings, but having a summit. And from what I understand, that is full. We reached our capacity
we set the capacity at like 100.
Yep.
And there's a waiting list.
Wow.
So that's good.
That's great. Yep. I hope that grows and I hope we can do it more often. But this is something that will help those smaller cities and towns.
Yeah. I hope so.
The financial compilation statements, the financial statements, that was one of our 2023-24 Municipal Association Advocacy Initiatives.
Yes.
So if you want to go ahead and
check that one off,
mark that one off.
Yeah.
That one's done.
Mark it.
Something else I want to talk about that had action yesterday. Today's Thursday, so Wednesday.
Yes.
Fentanyl trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
So we supported, because of feedback from a lot of our local elected leaders, a lot of our municipal officials said that fentanyl was becoming increasingly a huge issue for their cities and towns, for residents in their cities and towns.
Yep.
So we, as one of our, another advocacy initiative, we included fentanyl trafficking penalties.
Yep.
In that list. And yesterday, lo and behold, the House concurred on the Senate amendments.
Yeah, this bill, what was that bill number?
3503.
Kind of bounced back and forth between the House and the Senate.
Well, there were two Senate bills and one House bill.
Right.
That they were really focusing their energy
on. Yeah. They finally settled on that one.
Right.
Our worry was that because the Senate amended this fentanyl bill with it was an amendment that would increase the penalties if you were convicted of fentanyl trafficking, but you also were in possession of a firearm, you would lose your ability to, your right to carry a firearm if you're convicted of one of these fentanyl offenses.
Right, right.
You know, there was some worry that that would derail that bill entirely because of the Second Amendment advocates in the state house who weren't as thrilled about somebody losing their Second Amendment right to carry a firearm, no matter whether they were a felon or not, or as a result of this fentanyl possession or trafficking charge. Right. So, but that didn't happen. I was really quite surprised that the House concurred.
Well, you know, Jeff
Senate
Johnson, Representative Jeff Johnson from the Myrtle Beach area, Conway. He got up there and explained the bill. He didn't take questions.
Yeah.
He said, those are the changes. Move to concur.
Right.
And that was that. They voted, and I think it was a lot to one.
Yes.
I think there was only one. I don't remember the number, but I think there was only one person that voted
I think it was Representative Dion Tedder against it.
And Representative Seth Rose from Richland County, he did get up and express his concerns that he has expressed this entire time about, you know, people with substance abuse issues, and they are in possession of this, not to distribute, but to consume.
Right.
And they get popped with a mandatory minimum.
One of the things that I'm pleased that, and this is a good step forward that our General Assembly took with regard to fentanyl, is that they did not criminalize the possession of fentanyl detection strips.
Right.
So if you're not familiar with what those are, they're something that would detect whether or not fentanyl is present in a drug that you are preparing to consume. So if I wanted to take, you know, some pill that somebody had given me,
like for a headache,
but I wanted to, but I wanted to first make sure that it did not have fentanyl.
Right.
Then I used one of these test strips to test that pill.
And am I correct in saying that the naloxone, Narcan, that does not work as, that is not as effective on someone that has overdosed with fentanyl?
I don't know.
As it is with a different opioid.
Right. I don't know. Okay. That's a good question. Yeah. That's out of my.
Because we worked for several years
on the naloxone.
On the naloxone to make sure our fire departments had that.
And that was for all the opioids. Police. But,
right.
But so it's not, in some cases, in some places in the country, I guess, the mere possession of those test strips could get you in trouble and charged with a drug paraphernalia charge.
Okay.
Well, this bill assures people who are carrying those for their own safety, even though they may be engaging in illegal activity, but to keep themselves from being killed by fentanyl.
Right.
Having those strips is not against the law in South Carolina.
So what they agreed to in the new fentanyl trafficking, and I have not gotten any indication from any newspaper or what I've heard around town that Governor McMaster plans to veto this bill because I believe he's supportive of penalties, not just increased penalties. Mm-hmm. But it's a mandatory minimum sentence of 7 years for anyone in possession of 4 to 14 grams. The higher the grams, the more of the mandatory minimum.
Right.
It has they called it PWID, possession with intent to distribute.
Right.
That is a charge and a simple possession charge, and that goes down to 2 grams.
Right.
And then, like you said, it makes it illegal for someone who is convicted of distribution, manufacturing, or trafficking of a controlled substance, not just fentanyl,
right,
but any controlled substance, illegal to possess a firearm.
Right. So,
and that is headed to the governor. Well, it's got to be ratified, but after ratification, it'll be headed.
And I would be shocked beyond all belief if the governor were to veto that bill.
Right. Right. I would be shocked about that. So we heard again from our people on fentanyl trafficking as we did on municipal financial compilation of the financial statement.
We'll see if it makes any kind of difference.
Hopefully.
We'll see.
All right, now, let me just paint this picture real quick. So the Budget Conference Committee has met three times this week.
They've met twice this week.
Twice this week.
Yes, which is 3 or 4 times in total since the end of the
regular session. Since the Budget Conference Committee was formed.
Yes.
We had a notice that they were to meet at 1 o'clock today.
Mm-hmm.
And then that meeting notice was changed to 2 o'clock.
Yep.
And Joni Nickel was on scene.
Yes.
And she was over in the Gresset building where they are negotiating, where budget house and Senate conferees are negotiating. And she texted and said, might be 3:30 or 4.
Yes.
We know that they are currently in negotiations.
Yes.
Joni keeps texting us while we are sitting here saying, okay, this happened. Now then this happened. Okay, wait, this happened. Wait, hold on, this happened. We think that they are, they're just reviewing all parts of the budget to try to come to a consensus. We got a glimpse.
Well,
we got a show.
We got a great show yesterday and got finally first-person confirmation of what we've been speculating about was the major holdup in the budget, and that was confirmed yesterday as the vet school
in Clemson.
Right. Yes.
So the House put in $8 million, and the Senate put in...
It
was more than 112, wasn't it?
No.
Oh, it was 112?
That's what Representative Todd Rutherford from Columbia said yesterday.
Okay. He is...
Who is the substitute for Representative David Weeks, who's on vacation.
Right. Because we are in the summertime. And kids are out of school.
Yeah.
So yesterday they met and it got uncomfortable straight out the gate.
Yes.
There were a lot of accusations thrown around by both sides. You could sense the frustration.
Yes.
In the negotiations. You could sense the urgency because what did you say? How many shopping days left until the end of the fiscal year?
So now there are 21 and a half, if you will,
right,
shopping days left before June 30, the end of the fiscal year.
Right. So the state fiscal year runs July 1 to June 30.
So, it, and you know, it was proposed yesterday that the House's continuing resolution be amended to include those things that everybody already agrees on, like raises for teachers, state employee raises, you know, some other things that have already been agreed to in the budget.
Right.
But Chairman Peeler, Harvey Peeler from Gaffney.
Right. Let's just say that he didn't love that idea.
Why would we do that whenever we could just do our work here and pass a budget?
And pass the real deal.
So it was clear that the three senators on the conference committee were extremely frustrated. Mm-hmm. Representative Rutherford's presence and approach to the meeting, in my view, probably did not advance the efforts yesterday, because he was pretty contentious.
Well, and Senator Peeler made a really good point. I think Representative Rutherford was saying, just take our side. Just take what we want.
Yeah.
And Senator Peeler made a really great point. That's not a compromise.
Right. Yeah.
A compromise is coming in the middle where not everybody's happy, but everybody gets something. You may not get what you want. You may not get what you want, but you're getting something.
And Bruce Bannister, who's the House Ways and Means chairman, even joked that David Weeks will be back in 2 weeks to replace replacement Representative Rutherford doesn't participate. But
there were a couple of, you know, uncomfortable laughs. There were a couple of tense moments. And
But that's where we are right now. And it doesn't look like anything's going to get resolved today either.
So we have had, Joni's been over at the Gresset building and she has seen people meeting. She has seen House and Senate conferees walking off the elevator together, meeting together. And so they're definitely working. They may not be working in, you know, in public.
Right.
No, but they're meeting behind the scenes. And I believe that they are going to try to work something out. I want to believe that they have the best interests of our state and its people.
You're such a sweet kid.
At heart. And I've been doing this too long to think that, but I really do.
You want to believe that.
I want to believe that.
You want to believe that.
I absolutely do.
You're so pretty. That is,
such a good kid. Next thing you know, you're going to go, oh, come on, babe. Come on, babe. Is that really what you think, babe? Come on, babe.
Well, against my better nature, yes, I'm hopeful that they'll get something done.
Right. Where's cynical Scott? Come on, man.
I think they will. You know, we've got plenty of time. We've been saying that for the last 3 weeks now, but we still have plenty of time.
That's right.
To get this thing done.
You're right.
But, of course, we know that Speaker Merle Smith Wednesday. When did the House come in?
Wednesday. Yesterday.
Yesterday. Told the House members, hey, plan on coming in next week and the week after.
And we already know the Senate is coming in next Wednesday at noon because the bond reform bill, the 3532, one that we've been following, that bill is slated for a conference committee meeting at 11.
On Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. And then the Senate's going to come in at noon. So we can anticipate the House coming in at noon also, or the House coming in on Thursday. Hopefully, we could knock out a budget. I've been saying that for weeks, but if they're going to be here and not having to call them back, but they're going to have to come back for vetoes anyway.
Right, but it's another opportunity for both chambers to meet,
at the same day.
And consider a budget. So we have a little less than a week before they come back in total. To get a budget deal done and just keep our fingers crossed and perhaps they'll settle on a number for the vet school.
I've said before, selfishly, I'd love a vet school. My kid wants to be a vet. I'd love for him to stay in state.
Well, you know, and one of the concerns that we've heard is the recurring costs for operating the vet school. I haven't heard that. We didn't hear that yesterday for sure. But, you know, that's one of the concerns that we've heard that's a holdup for a vet school going forward. But based on what we heard yesterday directly from the conference committee members, it's just a number, a right. settled upon number. So right. you and I, Casey, would say, okay, well, let's just pick the number in between right. 8 million and 112 million and
the
let's
mean,
go.
Median and mode.
Right. Yeah. Put it in the middle and.
Right. And just roll out.
Yeah.
That's normally what compromise is all about.
We gain a lot of ground here when we both meet in the middle or something like that.
What song is that?
That's somebody.
You should make that up.
No, that's a country song. Some country
from like
singer.
The 1950s?
No. Somebody will recognize that.
Like a bubblegum country that they're talking about now?
How does that go? I can't remember. I'll think of it here while I'm thinking of
here we go.
The Saints.
So what else? That's what's going on with the budget. I know everybody is wondering. A lot of our cities have got money in some line items that they're watching out for. Local government fund, obviously. There's still a short-term rental proviso in the House version that we are watching.
Yes.
And working on. So, we're waiting like the rest of us and digging around for information where we can find it.
I'll start walking your way. And you start walking mine.
Is that the same song or now you're making up a different one?
No, it's the same song.
But you can't figure out what it is.
I'll have to look it up.
Is it Conway Twitty?
No, he's dead.
Okay.
Isn't
I was just wondering.
Mr. Producer Conway Twitty, he's dead. He's got to be.
Isn't that your like age range right there?
I was.
Kenny Rogers. Now, I love Kenny Rogers.
I was raised listening to
The Gambler. Are you
WESC in the upstate.
Is that the Blue Ridge Country Station?
No, I was in Greenville.
You didn't listen to any religious radio stations, did you, that talked about saints?
Had to watch WGGL, Channel 16. Was it GGL?
Was that with Jim and Tammy Faye?
WGOSG? I can't remember. It was Channel 16. It was an independent Christian television station in the upstate. I think it's still going.
I keep waiting around to get a text from Joni because I feel like that she's going to text and we're going to be like, breaking news,
it's
everybody.
Done.
But
no.
No. That's not happening.
It's not going to be right.
Scott, how many municipalities in South Carolina are named after a saint?
Well, you've got one real close to us here in Columbia, St. Matthews.
Right. Good call in Calhoun County.
And then you've got one of my favorite places, St. George.
That's because you loved Mayor Ann.
Mayor Ann. What was Ann's last name? Doggone it. I can see her face.
I know. I loved Ann.
She moved to Georgia with her family.
So St. George and Dorchester.
St. George, St. Matthews.
And if you kept going somewhat near St. George in the Tri-County area, a smaller municipality.
Boy, you got me stumped now. Gosh, which county? Do you know?
Do I know? Mr. Producer knows all.
Of course he does.
Berkeley County.
It's in Berkeley County? Boy, I hate not knowing this one.
I know you do. I'll give you a hint.
Yeah.
One of your dear friends, one of your close friends that you like to visit that doesn't live here, his first name is the name of this town.
I don't have
you
any
like to
close
go,
friends.
It's just like your employable skills.
I have no employable skills. I have no close friends.
This friend lives on the water.
Okay.
Okay, and you like to go down there because y'all will go, get shrimp.
St. Stephen's.
Right, there you go.
St. Stephen's.
Stephen. That's it.
That's it. Oh.
Three of them.
Wow.
St. George, St. Matthews, and St. Stephen's.
I've not been to St. Stephen. That's one of the very few cities or towns in the state that I've probably not at least passed through.
Well, we should probably go visit.
And that's not Steven. It's
no,
Stephen.
That's
yes,
correct.
I did know that.
It's all coming back to you now.
Whew. Yes. Yeah.
Don't sing that song.
Stephen is.
We're good.
I do consider Stephen a close friend.
I know yes, you do. That's sure. what I'm saying. That's how I was trying to get you there.
Thank you for reminding me that I do indeed have one, at least.
Hey, we've got one listener. You've got one friend. And there you have it.
Oh, my gosh. We're all getting a little punchy.
Yeah, listener. Scott, you're exactly right.
The session was supposed to be over 3 weeks ago, and
yeah,
we're still
almost
spinning.
A month ago, and we're still going. We we promise that this podcast is going to offer a lot more content once we can get out of the reporting phase.
I got a call from a colleague, a lobbyist this morning, who said that he was happy that the session was over. And he's in fact, he said something effective. He was having a little session withdrawal. I was like, not us. We're still immersed in it until that budget gets done. So, and of course, the overrides and these other bills that we're following. So hopefully it'll be over soon.
Perhaps. It'll be over soon, and we might get a little bit of a break until 2024.
They'll come back and probably take up abortion again the state Supreme Court makes its ruling.
We do have we have our dates and locations set for the regional advocacy meetings.
Very
those
exciting.
Will be we'll put those online once, you know, everything is confirmed. And this is going to be really important, Scott, that we have everybody attend. We're not doing a meeting with each COG. We have just picked some, you know, kind of central locations and areas of the state.
Right.
To cut down on travel, we're offering a virtual option.
Yes.
If you can't make any of the other, like, six, I think.
There's six in person.
Six in person and one virtual, if you want that. If you want me to DoorDash you some delicious food where you are, if you can't make an in-person one and eat with us.
We ain't got that in the budget. You can't do that.
Okay. I can't have callers. I can't DoorDash food. What can I do?
You're getting barbecue every meal. So
not
that's
every meal,
good.
Not every meal.
Well, that's disappointing.
So we're going to have, and that's going to be a really, these are going to be pretty important. It's not going to be your standard meeting because our advocacy initiatives are pretty well set. We've still got some we've got to work on. We're always taking ideas of things that, you know, municipalities need or tools we can put in the toolbox. But we're really going to focus on gathering information about short-term rentals and really focus on that issue while we're, meeting with everybody across the state.
It's going to that one's going to continue to burn until a resolution is found at
some
point.
That's correct. So we're the regional advocacy meetings, we really, 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 really want you to be there and hang out with us and talk to us and share information and fellowship, eat a good meal.
We need the input so that we have some guidance from local officials as to the positions that we should take on some of these issues.
That's right.
This is the opportunity to tell us how you feel about a variety of different issues that we'll bring up or anything that you have on your mind as well.
And there's plenty of other pending bills that we can discuss.
Yeah.
We can give an update on, and we're also going to talk about, by that point, we will probably have some guidance on the financial compilations.
Yeah.
And we will be able to share some, you know, how some of these new laws are affecting cities and towns and what they need to be doing.
Ben, again, talking about the lobbyist who called me this morning, he called in regard to the accommodations tax workforce housing development.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Law,
284. Yeah.
Yeah. Act 57. So, that is getting a lot of attention and traction. So it's good to see that people are paying attention to that and are expressing interest in it. So hopefully that's going to make a difference, in the state. Very soon. Very soon.
I have not had a text from Jody in like 10 minutes. So I feel good that things are kind of, we're in a holding pattern.
Yep.
We're circling the airport, maybe.
We'll see. Probably be next week before we hear something definite, but keep your fingers crossed that we can get that budget compromise worked
out. And I'll say this, like I've said it before, if something happens later this evening, I will jump on with the producer to give everybody an update.
Yep.
So we'll have the latest information on the pod for our listener.
Only our listener only deserves the latest information.
Let me shout out our listener, Reba Campbell, who, because of the information that she heard on the podcast, it could have saved her life.
That's true. She almost got run over by a squat truck in the Kroger parking lot the other day.
CVS
parking lot. I'm sorry. Now, for those of you who may not know Reba, she's not a tall person, but
that is a perfect example of why the guy even told her, I couldn't see you.
Yes.
Well, then you shouldn't have your truck jacked up.
And she yelled at him and told him essentially that
what he was driving was illegal.
It's going to be illegal soon enough. And
he said, you don't know what you're talking about, among other things.
He yelled an expletive at her.
And Reba threw up her arm and said, 363.
The rallying cry.
It's like Braveheart, you know, freedom. She said, 363. And, you know, he's going to have to find him a auto shop to lower his front bumper a little bit. Goodness. So. But he's got some time.
She's good though.
She's okay. She's okay.
She didn't get hit.
That's right. So in order for us to provide other life-saving information on the podcast, please keep listening and we'll talk to you next week. Everybody, this is breaking news. This literally just happened. I wanted to come back on the podcast here at the end and let you know that the budget conferees, the House and Senate budget conferees, just adjourned their meeting that began around 5:15, 5:10. They have adopted the budget conference report. That means that they came to a compromise on the House and the Senate versions of the budget. They've adopted a report to be shared with the full House and Senate next week, likely, and then it will go to the governor for his vetoes. Next week on the podcast, we'll have a full rundown of everything that was in the budget and not in the budget, but I wanted to tell everybody to breathe a sigh of relief that the short-term rental proviso that was in the House version was not included in the budget conference report. We will have more on everything related to the budget next week. Thanks for listening. Be sure to follow the Municipal Association's podcasts on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Find the latest from the Municipal Association on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the Association's website, masc.sc.